everyone. Welcome back to the Internet Report's Pulse Update, where we keep our finger on the pulse of how the internet is holding up week over week. The theme running through this episode is managing the complexity of omni-channel service delivery, as well as the importance of visibility over the third-party providers you rely on. We'll talk through how these issues arose in recent outages at McDonald's and the US Department of Motor Vehicles. We'll also be analysing the recent cable cuts that had widespread impacts in Africa and other areas around the globe. I'm Barry Collins, and I'll be hosting today with the amazing Mike Hicks, Principal Solutions Analyst at Thousand Eyes. As always, we've included chapters in the episode description below, so you can skip ahead to the sections that are most interesting to you. And if you haven't already, we'd love you to take a moment to like and subscribe. For all our YouTube listeners, don't forget that we also release this show on all the major podcast platforms, so feel free to give us a follow over at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. Let's get on with the show. And I started by asking Mike to explain how the McDonald's outage affected the fast food chain's customers.
This outage at McDonald's impacted the ability to transact on the food orders. So when you were going into the shop, you actually couldn't use the online system to make the ordering. And then if you wanted to pay, you couldn't transact to it because it was actually linked to all these ordering systems. So what it actually sort of turned out to be was a configuration change being made by a third-party provider. So this third-party provider was someone that actually processed all their transactions, and this was global. The reason we didn't necessarily see it sort of manifesting itself around the world, even though it was there, was because of the time of day it actually hit. So it sort of hit around 5 a.m. UTC. So the people who were going to be impacted would have been the regions that were sort of online and going at that time. It was felt through Oceania and it was sort of parts of Europe as well. But as I said, it did have a global impact, which means we were then looking at some central system in there, which then came down to this third-party process. It's kind of interesting that if you think about how these things are sort of delivered, is that we're going in and we're making this transaction, we're selecting the items on the menu, and then it goes in. And this is all linked in. And when we talk about omnichannel, what we're talking about is this ability to have all these different services connected together. Idea being that it makes a simple process and flow for the user. But then, of course, we're reliant on these systems downstream to be operational and connectivity. And as we've talked about in the past, when I have some sort of break or failure within that, that's going to disrupt this whole system.
When you're relying on third parties to provide key parts of your payment infrastructure, is there a limit to what you can do when those parts go wrong?
There isn't. And I know that sounds like a real consultant type of answer there. But if we think about the system there, what it's actually doing, it's impractical for us to have multiple payment systems. Right? I'm relying on this third-party payment system because that's what they do. That's their core focus. I, as an organization, don't want to have to support and maintain that. And also, I need these connections into the banks and different payment systems as well. So that's why it goes to this third-party system. I'm not going to have two or three of those, right? So what it comes down to, if there's a failure within that system and they have their redundancy and they have their settings that they can actually do to sort of maintain this. But when there is something occurring there, two things. First of all, I've got to know it's happening. But then what I've also got to know is what process or what can I actually take in. And it may be that I need to sort of switch to a manual process. So in some of the restaurants in here, in Australia, for example, they actually reverted to, believe it or not, taking cash. Because the main thing I want to do in these situations is maintain business. I want to maintain the connectivity. I want to make sure that we can still transact.
In this situation, we invariably believe there must be some kind of technological solution. But here McDonald's has shown some lateral thinking by simply going back to cash as a failover. It shows that you sometimes have to look beyond the technological answers, doesn't it, Mike?
There is always a technological solution, but it then has got to be at what price? Because I said I could have redundant systems upon redundant systems upon redundant systems. They never get used, and it's just not practical to do that. So absolutely, it's the old inventing an implement to write in space. So we'll spend millions of dollars developing a pen when we could actually use a pencil to do that. It's that type of thing. It's Occam's razor. The simplest approach might be the best one. Again, what we have to do is to maintain the connectivity or the ability to transact.
If you were trying to book a driving test in the US on March the 21st, you might have had some difficulty. Here's Mike's explanation of what went wrong at the DMV.
The problems there was that the systems were down. So the morning of the 21st, you say, it sort of impacted these driver licensing services. So you couldn't actually book tests and couldn't log on to sort of get data. So you couldn't retrieve information coming from there. So the root cause appeared to be, or was reported to be, a third-party information clearinghouse. And they had these connections into the DMV, and there was sort of various verification services. And effectively, this third-party system lost its connectivity. So it had no connectivity between these systems. And again, as we were just talking about in the McDonald's outage, if I don't have connectivity to those systems or downstream, I can't do it. So the fact then this was a clearinghouse, I needed to have sort of verification processes. I couldn't do that. And it was really like the network was cut off. I couldn't actually get into those parts.
As you said, Mike, this one is similar in nature to the McDonald's outage, where a problem with a third-party provider essentially brings the whole system down. Doesn't it highlight the importance of visibility across your chain again?
It does. It does. And understanding it, and you've got to recognize necessarily that you don't have the control of all these systems downstream of this, but I need to have visibility of them. So if we think of it in terms of RACI, I'm big on RACI, the responsibility, accountable, contracted and information, or communicating information, depending on where looking at. I, as the end user, have responsibility for that end-to-end delivery, that service chain. I do not have accountability for every component in it. So I need to understand where that problem is. Now, if we're looking at that from a DMV perspective, there is parts way out of my control. But I need to be able to understand that it isn't a problem with my login. It isn't a problem with my connectivity. And again, if we're thinking about that, what could I do in this situation? Unfortunately, the only place I'm going to get that particular information, the only place I can book a test is with that system. So in that situation, I just have to sit and wait. But if I was dealing with a different environment, I understand, okay, it looks like that third party is down there. I can get to the system, but it's something within that data clearing or with that verification in the back end there. Again, I can now start to look at alternative methods or alternative systems to maintain that connectivity, depending on what that system is. You know, in this case, it may have been the ability to, although the connections were broken to the back end, you know, but it could be a system where I bypass that front end process, that connection, and I simply phone these people and book it. I don't know if that was possible in this case, but I understand where the breakage is or that disconnect is, and I can actually make that ability to maintain that connectivity or transact.
Outsiders might look at situations like these and think, why are these organizations such as McDonald's or DMV relying on third-party providers for parts of their system? But nobody can provide all the parts for their entire service chain, can they?
No, why would you? I mean, you can, but you got to think about the economy of scale. And as we said, let's stick to our core business. Let's see what we do best. Let's focus on that because we can execute on that. We're driving for the customer experience. Everybody's looking for an improved service. So if I'm building up these systems and I have to maintain all these payment gateways, I have to maintain these relationships into these clearing houses and the banks and whatever it is, that detracts from me being able to deliver my core service to the customer. So you have to make decisions, and these made on sort of financial decisions, but also I think you'll find a lot of these decisions are actually made on a service decision. They haven't just done the cloud migration because it is, you know, something to do to add to their CVs. It's because it's going to improve the service. The technology we have around today is driving the service. It's probably, in my opinion, the first time sort of in history where we're actually in a situation where the customer requirements are driving technology. So we're expecting this, and therefore then the technology is doing it. So the way to achieve that, coming back full circle, is let's outsource these parts or rely on these systems to connect them together. We talk about the omni-channel from a retail perspective, but these omni-channels exist in a financial environment, in a service environment, because we want to maintain that simplicity and that experience for the customers, which means bringing all these things together and having them work together in harmony.
Undersea cables off the west coast of Africa were badly damaged on March the 14th. I asked Mike to explain what impact that had on internet traffic in the region.
You've got to think about the way these submarine cables sort of travel and the path they come. You know, we're talking about a vast distance. The span where these cable systems were running is somewhere in the region of sort of 7,000 kilometers. And they're actually sort of quite thick cables with multiple cores in them.
Thankfully, the damaged cables aren't the only ones connecting the west coast of Africa. There are others, which travel up the west coast and form a hub around Portugal, which then flow into the rest of Europe. However, rerouting the traffic has created capacity problems, as Mike explains.
So for the customers and the providers who are relying on these cables or using the capacity on these cables, on the cables that actually ended up being damaged, they're impacted in that they saw high loss rates and sort of some connectivity losses coming from there. So sort of high latencies. And when we have a loss rate, it means the packets are retransmitted and we sort of increase in latency. So it sort of a degradation of performance. In some cases, this meant that actually sort of caused complete outages for them, and they had to sort of look what they're doing for alternate paths to sort of make connectivity. And when I say that, I'm talking about the specific customers within region. So we were looking at a number of African countries from there as well, and it was actually primarily coming up and connecting to Europe. And this is because this is why the paths are actually traveling.
Less than a week later, we saw fiber cuts impact a number of primary circuits for ASXNet, a service for linking organisations into Australia's financial markets. What impact did we see there?
Now, this is really interesting because this was a cut. This was damage to the cable. It's a fibre cable. It's impacting the ASX, which is the Australian Stock Exchange there. And they have mandates within the system. So the people who are utilising these services, having these connections coming in, these brokers essentially that were connecting to these, they have to have alternate paths, right? This is mandated in. So what we saw then, when this damage occurred, they were immediately rerouted onto these redundant paths where the damage could sort of be repaired. So again, they identified the damage and then these automatic systems cut in. So the actual impact itself in terms of being able to connect and maintain and transact for these brokers, these messengers who were actually connecting to these systems was minimal, was negligible because it would have been a blip in the system and they were sort of cut straight over.
For a financial institution like the Australian Stock Exchange, it's absolutely critical that they have good redundancy because an increase in latencies is hugely damaging for their business. Is there potentially more flexibility in other industries or with other types of traffic?
It's a really good point because it comes down to the type of applications you're trying to transact on. And in the case of ASX, they have sort of mandated requirements that you need to have this connectivity there. But also they have it, as you say, because the way they need to transact is they actually need to have sort of a lossless architecture. It needs to have this redundancy, it needs to do there. Now, it then comes back to what we're talking about, the different characteristics of the applications. If we're dealing like we're talking now, we're recording this, therefore it's a real-time application. We can't go back in time. What we say now is there. So that is going to be really susceptible to loss. So if I have a loss on that, I start to talk like that, and we get gaps and it goes there, and it becomes, you might say, my language is incomprehensible anyway, but it still becomes incomprehensible. So that doesn't suffer loss. So that needs to essentially go on a sort of lossless architecture. But if I'm dealing with an application that can sort of take a little bit of loss, and you've got to think about, you know, I talked about the vast span of these submarine cable systems that are sort of passing through there. We're going to see a certain amount of loss coming on these systems anyway. And if you think about the way the protocols work, they have sort of retransmissions and they can, you know, sort of fill the gaps in. Now, as long as I'm not looking at some time sensitive, like a real-time application, I can put up with a little bit of loss. It just means essentially that the applications might be a little bit slower to transact. Now, this might be a better option than I've got a path to connectivity, but I've got to come right around the other side of the world. And despite what they thought they'd proved in CERN a few years back, you can't improve on the speed of light, right? So the speed of light is what it is. So that geographical distance is going to impact it all the time. So it may be that the loss that I incur on that application has less of an impact than if I have this latency, because it might just mean I need to retry. So, and it again depends where that loss occurs. If that loss occurs through a verification process, then I've got to redo that whole verification process. If it's just when I'm transferring a file, then it really is that firewall transfer. I'm retrieving data. It might mean I've got to wait a bit longer to pull my data down. So it's where it occurs in there. And this is why then it's good to understand, obviously, where my alternate paths are. Where do I have alternate paths I can take this network to maintain this connectivity? But also at the same time, what is the characteristics of my application? What do I need to satisfy that? And it's not just a speeds and feeds argument. It becomes understanding what it can actually tolerate and what it's trying to do, which then comes back into this, how do we interact with the back ends? How do we interact with the third parties? And all this needs to be taken into consideration.
Finally, for this episode, we're going to look at two outages that affected gamers, starting with a PlayStation network.
What happened was the PlayStation users themselves were hit with a variety of error messages. How this issue manifested was that the gamers who were logged onto the system could actually continue to play their games. But if I tried to retrieve a game from my library, or if I tried to purchase a game through the store, I was unable to. So sort of indicating some sort of back-end issue where I was actually having sort of problems going that verification process, as it were, to access the game itself or the library itself.
NVIDIA's GeForce Now service also ran into recent difficulties.
This was a similar one and occurred around the same sort of time. But again, this issue sort of prevented the user from accessing game streams on their devices. So similar type of outage there. Again, if I was actually logged on, I could actually continue to work. But it's just when I tried to stream this service down at that time, start a new stream up, then that was when I was actually impacted and couldn't access it.
What lessons can we learn from these blips in the gaming services?
So if you think about the gaming system itself, if we're thinking about this from a stream where we're talking about this real-time application where I needed to make the connectivity, then this is critical to that. These are applications that do not suffer loss or latency very well. So any sort of degradation in this is going to really impact it. So this becomes interesting, and we're talking about how do we maintain this service for these people. So in this case, the issues we saw were relevant to logging on, authentication and verification. If I was playing, it wouldn't be a problem. So it wasn't a connectivity issue. But I have these two systems, so I need to maintain that I can actually get onto it. So I need to have that visibility, as it were, to understand that login there. But also at the same time, I need to make sure that I can deliver this application to my end users, which is in a highly distributed manner, in a way that's not going to be impacted by any underlying network conditions. Because I said, we're dealing with extreme real-time applications here. Glitches in this have sort of severe consequences from a brand reputation, as well as obviously then my customer experience.
That's all for this episode. We'd really appreciate it if you like and subscribe. Not only does this ensure you're alerted when a new episode's published, it also helps us shape the show for you. You can follow us on X @ThousandEyes or send questions and feedback to internetreport@thousandeyes.com. Until next time, from Mike and myself, goodbye.